Good evening. As we have announced, we want to discuss this evening the topic of parents, children, and drugs, and some things that are mentioned in God's Word to help us along that topic. And this has been on my mind recently with the story just a couple of weeks ago in Greenbrier, the two teenagers who were finally killed as a result of some things that they were drinking and inhaling, things that they shouldn't have been doing. It was reported that it was possible a mixture of Mountain Dew and some fuel, some sort of automotive type of fuel, and they both died. And I want to say that I'm concerned about that, and I'm sorry for the loss of the families, but want to use that as an occasion to talk about this subject. And I'll have some more to say about that later. You may wonder why we chose the passage in Matthew chapter 27 as a scripture reading on a lesson concerning drugs. And we typically try to have scripture readings that relate to the sermon and the lesson. You'll notice there are two things in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 33, that when they took Jesus to the place to be crucified, the text says they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. I chose the Matthew account because Matthew adds that he tasted it before he refused it. The other accounts say that he did not drink it. But Matthew said that he tasted it first and he would not drink. My understanding here is that this particular drink is not a social drink. It's not just a common drink. It would be similar to our anesthesia. And he did not want to partake of that. When Jesus went to the cross, he knew that there would be pain. He knew that there would be loss of life. And when he got there, he didn't find some way to go through with that without any pain. He refused that anesthesia. That would be similar to what we do today with regard to somebody who might be on hospice care. My mother had to go through this. Right at the last, they'll put them on morphine. We're trying to ease their pain. And this was a drink, wine mingled with gall. It was not a social drink. It was not just a drink to quench thirst. It was meant to be an analgesic. And so he tasted that and he would not have any part of that. He wanted to go through the cross without some sort of masking of pain. Now later he said, "I thirst," and they put some vinegar on a reed and he tasted that. But he did not partake of a drug, as it were, to ease his pain. And we're going to talk about later in the lesson how that so many people want to escape their problems through drugs. And of course, Jesus is a good example here. Now, we're certainly not opposed to painkillers, as we're going to see in a minute. But Jesus did not go to the cross with some sort of outside help. And we need to learn something about that. We live in a drug culture. There's no question about that. Look at all of the pharmaceutical commercials. They're on TV all day long. We live in a pill society. We live in a drug culture. And not just bad drugs. We're not just talking about heroin and cocaine and marijuana and things like that. We're talking about the misuse of even good drugs. And so we tend to, in our society, want to fix everything with a pill or a drug. And I've taken drugs before, prescribed to help a particular physical occasion or situation, and I'm not opposed to that. But a lot of times people will turn to something like that to fix a problem, and especially when they have no physical problem, they're trying to fix some emotional or mental problem, and it causes other issues. But when you consider the kind of culture that we live in, it's not surprising that we see more and more people, and it's not, this lesson tonight is not just about our young people. Middle-aged people are engaged in it. In fact, I saw a 60 Minutes report about 2 months ago where heroin is now one of the biggest problems in our nation, and it's middle class. It's not the poor, bummed out people in the ghettos. It's people in rich neighborhoods and well-off neighborhoods. And we're talking about people that are middle-aged are doing it and older. So it can affect different segments of society that we wouldn't think. And so what's happening is we're not training our mind on biblical principles when we have to deal with certain kinds of things. And so it can affect all kinds of classes, races, age groups. We're not talking this evening about the proper use of good drugs which heal. We all, I'm sure, from time to time have had to take something that is of a prescribed nature. What we're talking about is drug abuse, whether good prescribed drugs or illegal drugs, that which harms us, whether prescribed or non-prescribed, those things can be abused and misused. What we're talking about is the non-medical use of drugs. We're not talking this evening about a good, proper medical use, especially if we've had some sort of surgery and we need a painkiller or something like that. We're talking about the misuse. We're talking about when we don't have a true medicinal reason and we're going off putting something in our body that we should not. We're talking about addiction. You know, sometimes a person will take a prescribed drug for the prescribed length and amount of time on the bottle, and that's fine, and they move on. But we're talking about addiction. We're talking about coming back to that over and over again. So we're not talking about the proper use of legally prescribed drugs. We're not talking about this evening. We're talking about the improper use of even a prescribed or non-prescribed drug. And we need to say something about this word prescribed. We're seeing more and more states that are legalizing marijuana. Well, we can now say, well, it's lawful and it's prescribed and our government sanctions it. Just because something is lawful, just because something is prescribed, doesn't make it any less harmful for us. And we need to remember that. We're legalizing more and more things in our nation that are harmful to us, not only physically, but also spiritually. Let's start with marijuana. Marijuana, from the hemp plant, I call it a gateway drug. Others call it, law enforcement calls it a gateway drug. This is a drug that gives us an effect, and we want to up that later. We want to increase that later. So it's the gateway. A gateway is a door that opens up. It's the doorway into a more problematic drug world. And so a lot of times people that have been doing heroin and cocaine, they started off with marijuana. And I am told that marijuana is not necessarily addictive in nature like some other drugs, but it gives us a high. It alters our mind and our body in such a way that we like that. And then we want more after that. And so it's a gateway into things that are worse. Cocaine from the poppy plant. Barbiturates, which is another term for sedatives. A popular one would be Valium. There are drugs that bring us down. Sedative, bring us down. And then there are drugs that build us up, stimulate us. This would be amphetamines. Meth would be a common one among that category. Hallucinogens, which I am told are man-made, manufactured drugs. They're not natural, like from a plant, like cocaine or marijuana. It is something that is manufactured by man, LSD. There are narcotics. The word narcotic comes from a Greek word, narco, meaning to sedate or to deaden. And what's interesting is that in this heroin report that I saw a couple of months ago, people are being prescribed after surgery. They're being prescribed medicines that dull pain. And in order to keep that going, it might be Vicodin or Percocet. In order to keep that going later, they turn to other drugs that deaden pain. And one of the common ones, which is in that family, is heroin. And then we have ingesting things, inhaling things, such as the case of these two teenagers in Greenbrier, putting things in our body that are going to hurt us and harm us. Paint, fuel, glue, aerosol, whatever the case might be. Now you look at these things up here on the overhead and you see a lot of things that we know by name as being very deadly and harmful. But the problem is not just these kinds of drugs. It's what we've been taught, what we have been, how we've been raised. I was reading a report one time about some Eskimos who were trying to get alcohol out of aerosol cans, and some of them were so desperate that they were just drinking mouthwash, which has 21% alcohol. Well, mouthwash is not up there with heroin and cocaine. It's just mouthwash. But my point is that if we're seeking something, if we're not trained right and taught right when we're young, we'll seek it among something that is just very common among us because our thinking is not right. I'm trying to get that buzz. I'm trying to get that hangover. I'm trying to get that altered state. And it might even just be mouthwash. And so we sometimes talk about drugs and we're thinking these things up here, heroin and cocaine and so forth, when really the problem is bigger. I'm going to seek this problem anywhere in my home, anywhere, whether it's my medicine cabinet or out in the garage or anywhere in between or out on a street corner or a back alley, if my mind and my thinking is not right. I can get it anywhere and everywhere, and it doesn't have to be these ones that we're familiar with. It could just be trying to get alcohol out of mouthwash. We have to be taught right from our youth up. Alcohol, I'm not talking about rubbing alcohol, isopropyl, I'm talking about like ethyl or ethyl alcohol, and tobacco, nicotine, are drugs. Unfortunately, they're legalized in our nation, they're popularized, but they are drugs. Do you know that alcohol is a suppressant? It brings us down. It dulls us. But because we advertise it, and around the Super Bowl and all year round on the ads, because it's advertised and tobacco and cigarettes are everywhere. No, that's not a drug. A drug is heroin, cocaine, you know, those are drugs. No, alcohol is a drug. And nicotine is a drug. It's induced into the tobacco and it makes us addictive. And when it gets into our bloodstream, we want to come back and have more of it. These are drugs and they harm our body. And people die every day from lung cancer and other kinds of things related to alcohol and tobacco. But because it's legalized, then it's not bad for us. We are so misinformed, we're going the wrong direction in our country when we will legalize something that we know harms us. And it is beyond me why we continue, especially in this area of tobacco, to continue to promote that and subsidize that and back the big tobacco companies. It's just terrible when we know for a fact what it does to us and that nicotine is injected in it purposely to get us to come back and suck on it once again. These are things that are known to be harmful. One of the simple tests that I like to talk about is that when you take a drink of water, do you start coughing and choking and throwing up? When you put things in your body that are naturally supposed to be there, your body just naturally receives them. But your first drink, your first smoke, you're coughing and choking, and sometimes you might throw it up. Your body is telling you just in a common sense way. We don't need budget committees and a czar, a drug czar, and all this kind of stuff to let us know that these things are wrong. Our body can just tell us that. God made us to where we put things in it that are naturally supposed to be in it. It stays in. And when you're trying to put something in it that doesn't naturally go in there, our body's saying no to this. Now, our body can also say after a little while, okay, I'll take it. But we know for a fact that the first time we start doing these things, our body is saying no. That right there is the best indicator and the best educator. Why do people take drugs? Well, let me list some of the popular ones. First of all, there's the bad example of others around them. It might be family members. It might be friends. It might be broader in that we're just in a drug culture. And this is especially true with alcohol and smoking. We see it everywhere in our culture. And with regard to smoking, it's even worse in other countries like Europe. I've told you before that when I went to Spain in 1991, there were 12-year-olds smoking. It's no big deal. It's little kids walking around smoking. And adults giving them cigarettes, helping them light their cigarette. In other countries, it's even worse. But in our American culture, we have alcohol everywhere, especially in commercials and things like that. We have pills everywhere. Our border is open from the south to bring in cocaine and heroin. And so people are around it. And it's that bad example often that will get people started on that. Number two, pressure to conform. We might just be sitting with someone, a friend, and they're saying, hey, let's try this, let's do this. And our young people are not being taught from an early age just simply how to say no. I'm not going to give in to that pressure. And you know that pressure is very difficult on people. Pressure is very difficult. You don't want to be the odd man out. You don't want to be the only one not doing such and such. And it's a very, very much of a pressuring thing. But when we don't teach our children just to have the character and the fortitude just to say no, and how to mentally work through that, then they just say yes. We're not teaching our children from an early age biblical values. Joseph had been taught somewhere in his youth to say no to sexual advances. That's why he said no and ran out. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, and the other youths said no to those things that they weren't supposed to eat. They just said no. Well, where did they get that? They didn't just read it in a manual at the last minute. They had been trained that way. And so, because many people are not being trained on how to resist this kind of pressure, they just say yes instead of no. Some want to escape some unpleasant circumstance or problem. There's some stress and strain and problem in their life. And by the way, I'm not talking about an unreal one. It could be very real and very legitimate. And let me say at this point in the lesson that I can understand this. Let me say very clearly that I've experienced in my life emotional and physical stresses and strains. We all have, haven't we? These things are real. We're talking about maybe a problem at work, financial problem, a family problem, a marriage issue, a physical issue. And it's very real. I have had those things. I have those things. Depression, where you don't feel good. Depression, you're sad. You have a problem with something, and it's serious. But why don't I turn to drugs? Why don't other people turn to drugs? Because we've been taught how to handle that. These things are absolutely real, but you have to be taught. And in every case, what went through my mind was, well, I've been taught to have faith in God and His Word, and I can work through this. This lesson this evening, and this point right up here on the overhead, is not coming from someone who's never had a problem. Well, Brother Reeves, he doesn't ever understand. He doesn't. Look, I've had those things. I have been depressed, and you have problems in your life. But the difference is, how do we handle that? How do we work through that? And so some people, when they're having these problems, a drug is a way to escape that. I have had extreme pressure situations. You have too, I'm sure. But we don't turn to something in order to escape that. All we do is, if we have an extreme pressure situation and it's a problem, all we do when we take drugs is we just add another problem on top of it. Some want to alter their emotions. They're not feeling well. Maybe they want to be up. Maybe others want to be down. They want to be sedated. Maybe others with amphetamines want to be hyped up, speed and other kinds of things. They want to change their emotions in an unnatural way. We all change our emotions by changing our thinking. They want to change their senses. They want to escape reality. They want to gain some pleasure. They want an easy solution to a major problem. Jesus didn't take an easy solution. Here I am. I'm about to be nailed to a cross. And that's going to be painful, right? A nail going through your hands and feet. Give me a sedative, please. He said no to that. He tasted that and said, I'm not going to drink that. I know what that is. I'm not going to drink that. And so we all have problems, physical, mental, and otherwise, but how do we handle them? And some are not taught how to handle those things, how to work through those things and have a strong faith in God and His Word. And it's not over with in 5 minutes. It might be a day. It might be 2 days. You might be that way a week, but you work through it. But because people are not taught, and we're in a nation now that is not I've seen recent information where denominations are even on the decline. Denominational church buildings are becoming empty. We're not raising ourselves on God and His Word. And so the only thing left is just for us to figure out some way to figure out our own problem. And I've heard that drugs can do it, so we turn to those types of things. This is a very common reason why people turn. Some, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be rebellious. I'm somehow dissatisfied with what's going on. This is a way of getting back at someone. It might be a parent. Well, I'll show them. You know, they've been scolding me. They've been on me about cleaning my room and better grades and driving safely and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just tired of all of that. And I'll show them. Or a teacher or law enforcement or somebody. Sometimes it's more overt and rebellious like that. And sometimes, and this is becoming the situation with heroin, is that people start off with a legitimate use of some sort of prescribed drug like Vicodin or Percocet, and then it turns into an addiction. And then they're going back and getting refills when they don't need it, or they're getting refills and letting other people have it. And so it starts off with some legitimate use, and then it becomes way prolonged beyond that to an illegal use, and it turns into an addiction. So whatever the case might be, these are common reasons why people turn to drugs. And it could be just simply curiosity for something new. And I would suspect that some of this has to do with the situation recently in our community. We sit around, we hear that such and such will give us such and such effect. Do you know that some of these things, you can now get recipes on the internet on mixing things and trying them, and it'll give you this effect and they'll give you that effect? And when you've got a young person that is curious for something new and trending, then we can easily go do that. And so these are the common reasons, these six things that I've just mentioned. Bad example of others, not being able to handle peer pressure, trying to escape some unpleasant circumstance in mind or body, rebellion, prolonged legitimate medical treatment that has now been turned into an addiction. We were just supposed to stop it when the bottle got empty. Or curiosity. We're going to get to the Bible here in just a minute. And that's one of the biggest failures in the home and in our nation and even around the world. God's Word will help us with these things, but when it is not in people's homes, then they don't have that to turn to. We need to be abstinent from these things that hurt us and harm us. We need to get all the facts about the dangers and problems of drugs. We need to be informed. But brethren and friends, we can be informed all day long. We can have lectures all day long on all the intricacies of heroin and cocaine and meth and all that kind of thing all day long. But it's not going to do us any good unless we're raised on the proper biblical principles that we're going to mention in just a minute. I think it's great to get the facts. I think it's great to be informed about dangers in this and that for people who need that. Like I said earlier, with regard to putting something in our body, a lot of it, our body already tells us. You don't need a pamphlet or a lecture on something. When you just first put it into your mouth and your body is saying no to this, it's common sense. But if somebody needed that, that's fine. But it's going to have to be that plus a lot more from God's Word. People are not learning how to properly deal with mental problems, especially mental problems and physical problems. They're not learning how to use biblical principles to deal with those things. And so they don't have that on their side, and all they know to do is, well, a drug will help me deal with that. We need to be aware of the symptoms of drug abuse so that we can help someone. There may be sudden mood shifts. There may be slurred speech. New habits. They're sneaking around doing this and doing that. Needle marks or other physical situations on their body, their face, their eyes, their mouth. money problems, because it takes money to buy these drugs. Theft, they're lying, withdrawal. They want to hide out, stay away from mom and dad, stay away from teachers, stay away from law enforcement, clothes that smell, hiding, on and on and on. We need to be aware of these things, and I think it's great for parents. And these are the types of things that when the DARE program comes around to our schools in Robertson County, which is great, you've got the law enforcement DARE car that pulls up, and they give the kids all of these lessons. It's usually that number one and number three. The different facts and dangers about each individual drug, and then number three, the symptoms and what to look for. And all of that's great. And I'm glad we have those kind of programs. But that alone is not going to keep anyone, young or old, off of drugs. It's going to be God and His Word, because we have these programs nationwide every day, and we still have an epidemic. And it's not just an epidemic, it's rising. It's rising. With all the facts out there, with being aware of all the symptoms out there, it's continuing to rise. More and more states are legalizing marijuana. There's more and more heroin in this country. All of this is great, but it's not getting to the core of the problem. Now, let's turn and open up our Bibles and let's look at some biblical principles as we look at the remainder of our lesson. This is what I would love to teach in the school programs. This is what I would love to teach in someone's home. Things in addition to these good things. We're not knocking them. We're not saying that they're unimportant. But in addition to these things, the principles that are going to help us remain true as we go through life. Stop and think about it, brethren and friends, for just a minute. You're sitting out here this evening and you've not had a drug problem. Why was that? Why is that? Was it because you went through a DARE program years ago? Maybe something was said there that affected you. But there are many, many people who have never had any of this, and they're on the straight and narrow. Why? Because they were raised right early on biblical principles. There was no government program. There was no school program that affected them. There was no pamphlets that were given them. No money was spent doing this or that. It was they were raised right on biblical principles. And that's the very thing that we don't want to deal with in this country. We want to take God out of our country and then figure out some way to solve all of our problems. It just does not work. So in addition to all these great things that we've just talked about, here are the biblical principles that we need. Number one, God gives us a mind and a body, and He doesn't want us to be enslaved to anything. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. And when we're on drugs, we are enslaved. It is mind-altering, it is body-altering, and the addiction part of it is coming back like we're coming back to a master. My master is a pill. My master is some powder. My master is some sort of a liquid, and I am not to be enslaved. All things are lawful for me, Paul is saying, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I am not to be enslaved. And that's what drug addiction is. I am to be a slave to Christ, not a slave to anyone or anything else. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants, literally slaves or bondservants unto obedience, His servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We have to make a choice who and what we are going to serve. And drugs that we are taking and that we are coming back to when the medical problem is over with, but we are coming back to it in order to get a particular effect, we are addicted. We are enslaved. And Paul said we're not to be that way in mind or body. Number two, drugs affect the body and the mind, and we're to keep our bodies pure and useful in the Lord's service. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What we're hearing today is that we're just a product of evolution. We're just sort of a very sophisticated animal. and we can use our minds and bodies any way we want. There is no God. We're here by a naturalistic, accidental Big Bang, and then the evolution that comes from that. And we're just at the end of a long line of evolution, and we're advanced animals. And, you know, we just do what we want. That's why we can have any kind of sexual relation we want. That's why we can just do anything we want. And it's my body. I'm going to use it the way I want. And Paul says no. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. With regard, the context is not drugs. The context is fornication. But it would apply. We cannot use our body for fornication or anything that is wrong. Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, with your body. The price was the blood of Jesus on the cross. And when we become a Christian, we're in His service. We've been bought with His blood. We belong to Him. And so glorify God, therefore, in your body. Somebody says religion, that's just for your mind. Your body, you can use it any way you want. Well, apparently that's what some of the Corinthians were thinking. Well, when I go to church on Sunday, that's just something up here in the mind. During the week, my body, I can go up to the temple of Apollo up there on the hill where there's a bunch of prostitutes. And I can commit fornication. Back up to verse 18, 16, 17, 18, long in there. I can go to a harlot. It's just a body. No, our body has to be used in God's service, not just our mind. Somebody says, well, God wants my mind, but my body, that's mine. No, the body belongs to the Lord too. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And when we're putting things in our body, we are harming our body, and we are harming that temple of the Holy Spirit which is in us. It would be like going to a building and spraying it with graffiti and tearing it up and tearing it down. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're tearing it up and tearing it down when we put those things in it that are wrong. We've got to get back to these biblical principles. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, not just your mind, but your bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy. The body is to be holy, separate and apart from sin, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now look at that word. The Greek word is reasonable. Our body is there. Our mind is there. That's the spiritual service. Reasonable service. There's your mind. But back up a few words. It's the body. It's not just the mind, but the mind and the body is to be used in the Lord's service. And drugs certainly affect both. Yes, God wants our mind. But He also wants our body. And I know that for a fact from what Jesus said. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. We've got to keep our bodies pure. And outside of the subject of drugs, that is a good point to be made just for good general health in all aspects of our life. Eating properly, diet, exercise, good use of our body so that each day we can live longer in the Lord's service and serve the Lord. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But it doesn't stop there. With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And in Mark's account, he says he adds the body. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7 and verse 25. Romans chapter 7 and verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so Paul realized that there's times when your mind wants to do right and your body wants to do wrong. We have to get both mind and body serving the Lord. And that is extremely important. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we'll look at this statement from Mark's point of view. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. What is the greatest commandment? Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Clearly, he's talking about every part of our being. And so we need to use all of that in God's service. And drugs affect both the mind and the body. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. This is a great way to look at this. Somebody says, well, drugs are not specifically mentioned in the New Testament. And that's true, and I've actually heard that. The reason that drugs are not condemned is you can't find a verse in the Bible that mentions drugs. But every verse in the Bible that is for soberness, listen carefully, that is for soberness is against anything that would keep us from being sober. Every passage in the New Testament that is for soberness is against drugs that keep us from being sober and clear-minded. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the young women are to be trained to be sober-minded. And this is many places in the New Testament, to be sober, to be thinking clearly. We are to control our minds. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We are to be in control, not out of control. And when people take drugs, they want to be out of control. They want some experience where they can escape reality. That's where my mind actually has to be used for my work, for my family, for my responsibilities. I don't want that. I want a state where I don't have to be in control. But Peter says that we are to gird up the loins of our mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Be sober. Be sober. Girding up the loins of your mind, be sober. Every passage in the New Testament that teaches soberness would be a passage against anything like alcohol and other drugs that keep us from being sober. And we're just plainly not to be drunk. Romans 13 and verse 13. And when we hear about someone being drunk, we think of alcohol. But a drunken state, when we're not thinking right, can be brought on by things other than alcohol. Let's look at another biblical principle. Turn with me to John 13 and verse 17. I want to be happy. True happiness. And listen, in those times when we're depressed and we're sad, and I've been there, and we have pain in our body that lasts a long time, I've been there. When we have those things, how do we get through that? You have to have a thinking and a teaching and a learning that helps us to know what to do. And happiness, I can either say, well, I'm really tired of all of this negative stuff. I need to be happy. And then I go out and find it in a improper place, or I can find it in the Lord and in the right way. We need to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We talked this morning about with Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That hurt him. Whatever that was, he had problems. But he said, the power of Christ in me is what gets me through this. Talk to Paul. If you want to talk to someone who was going through a lot of problems, talk with Paul. But he didn't turn to drugs. And he could have. Those existed in his day. He had a right relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 13 and verse 17. John chapter 13 and verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. The New Testament does not say Christians will never have any problems. That's not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches when you have your problems, how to deal with them. New Testament Christians have all kinds of problems, physical, emotional, and otherwise. But they are taught how to deal with them. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious or worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. We're going to have requests. And some of those requests involve negative things. So we turn to God for that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. The New Testament does not say, Well, get up each day and don't ever have any problems. The New Testament says when you get up each day and you have your problems, and you will, you bring them to God and to Jesus Christ. Gird yourselves with humility. Serve one another. Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, casting all of your anxiety upon Him, for He careth for you. And notice the very next verse, by the way, be sober. 1 Peter 5:7, give all of your cares to God. Verse 8, be sober. So there's your stay away from things that dull the mind. We're having problems. Give them to the Lord. True happiness, rejoice, is going to come when we get our thinking back. So I'm having a bad day. We're having a bad day. We've got to get our thinking back on track with Christ. And when we do, things clear up. But the world is not being taught these biblical principles, so their first thing that they can think of is, well, turn to drugs. When things are hard and they come our way, we are better when we endure them, not when we find some way of escape. And that includes physical pains, emotional pains. Turn with me to James chapter 1. The Bible doesn't teach try to find some way to escape your problems. It says endure them and you will be better. Job learned that. And we must learn the same. Count it all joy, brethren. Look at this. Joy. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. It makes us a complete person when we go through the problem and we come out on the other side better and stronger for it. And we didn't try to find some escape route through drugs in the meantime. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love Him. And it's kind of like Jesus. He didn't find some way to escape. Well, I'm going to call 10,000 legions of angels and get out of this problem. I'm going to take an analgesic right before they nail my hand so I don't have to feel it as much. He wasn't looking for that kind of thing. And when we go through things that are hard, we're better for them on the other end. It makes us, and the word perfect here in verse 2 and 3 of James is complete. He's not talking about sinless perfection. It makes us a complete, mature Christian when we go through these things. And as we've just mentioned, we turn to God in times of trouble. These kinds of biblical principles are not being taught today. And so we wonder why people end up messing up their lives. And then last of all, just to be frank about the matter, we're not to break the law. And these things are improper, and in some cases, they're illegal. Unfortunately, our liberal nation is legalizing more and more marijuana, and so we can no longer call that illegal. But there are still other things that are illegal. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We must obey the laws of the land, and we must not do something that is improper. And misuse of prescribed drugs is illegal. Let every soul be in subjection to higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that are ordained are of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God. We don't need to resist law. By doing that, we're resisting God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The only exception would be, and we're taught this in Acts 5:28, that we must obey God rather than men. If man is telling us to do something that is against God's word, that would be the exception. But that aside, we must be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them that do well. So these biblical principles, I'm not going to be enslaved. Drugs affect my body that I'm supposed to be using in the Lord's service. I'm to love God with my mind and my body, all of my strength, all of my being. Drugs affect the mind and they keep me from being sober. True happiness is found in a right relationship with the Lord. When hard things come, endure them. turn to God in times of trouble. And number three, and last of all, we are not to break the laws of the land. These are biblical principles that need to be taught. Now let me close with this thought. And what I'm about to say might sound harsh and cruel to someone. Let me say up front that that is not my intent. I do not intend to be mean and cruel after someone has passed from this life. I can imagine the grief of the parents of those nearby and the loss of a young 16-year-old. So let me say up front that I feel for that. I have sympathy and compassion for that. And what I'm about to say is not meant to be cruel and mean. But I do want to close with this very important part of the lesson, if you'll just bear with me a few more minutes. I'm seeing more and more in our culture where we are excusing drug behavior. Parents are excusing themselves for not raising their children right. Young people are excusing themselves, and other people are excusing themselves. And often when there is a drug problem or a substance abuse problem, blame is shifted away from the parents. Blame is shifted away from the person who was actually doing it. And so I want to close with some biblical principles that deal with parents and children. If we're talking about a true accident, then I feel for the people. Accidents happen. They do. But if we're talking about somebody doing something because they were not taught right, then that's where the blame is at. When the story was written about the two young people that died, one of the parents said that they wanted to raise money so that there could be better education for parents and school advisors on the hidden dangers, of what our young people are taking into their body. I want to raise money so that there can be better education for the hidden dangers. Listen, those young people, it is possible that a young person can put something in their body that they didn't know would hurt them. That is possible. But listen to me. When you go out into the garage to get it, that's not a hidden danger. You know. Let me ask you something, brethren and friends. When you're hungry and you're thirsty, do you go to the garage to fulfill that? Do you look under your sink to fulfill that? Do you go out in the barn to find something for that? No. You go to your refrigerator. You go to your pantry. But we're doing things and we're putting things in our body. And rather than being square about what is going on here and truthful, we say, well, we just didn't know. Really? You're drinking fuel. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive and mean and cruel. I am not. But we have to get back to, if there is true blame here by the parents or the young person, that's what we need to talk about. And we won't do that in our country. So let's look at a few biblical principles and then we'll close. Parents are not teaching their children. That's one of the main problems. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We are made in the image of God. And whether mom and dad are around or not, I know that from youth, I've been made in the image of God. I'm not just the product of some evolutionary thing. Verse 27, God created man in His own image. And God said to him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. We are made in the image of God. I am in God's image. I have to act right and think right and do right and treat my body right. And we're not teaching our young people that. So when they grow up, they just act any way they want. We are made in the image of God. We cannot hurt ourselves and we cannot hurt other people. We cannot say bad things. James says that we're not to say bad things to other people because they're made in the image of God. James 3. In Genesis 9, we're not to kill someone else because they're made in the image of God. There are things about us that are our image, in God's image, and that's going to keep us from doing and putting wrong things into our body. Number two, parents are not connected to their children like they should be. whether because of they're off working or off doing whatever, if we have a close connection with our children and we're teaching them biblical values, not one penny has to be spent on educating anything about any of this. I never got any paid lecture growing up on the dangers of heroin and cocaine. That wasn't anything for me or for some of you, because that wasn't necessary. Thousands of people have gone through their entire life without having to learn the hidden dangers of this and the lecture. They were just taught right. And listen, growing up, we have four children. Not once did we lock the two doors underneath the sink. Not once did we have to do that. Not once did we have some big old chain around the medicine cabinet. Not once. Because just when you're early and you have a good relationship with your children, you just say, no, you don't take those things. And that's all it is. You don't ever have to go back to it again. And young people then, when they become teenagers, they're not sitting around going, you know, I'm thirsty. I'm going to go out in the garage. That's where I'm going to go to get something to drink. It's just common sense. There's no hidden dangers there. You've talked about it early on. Yeah, sometimes you'll tell somebody, we might have told Carlin, I don't know, when he was little, you don't drink bleach. We probably would have said something like that. Brethren, at some point, we have to get back to some common sense here. But because we're not connected and we're not going to church together, we're not reading our Bibles together, we're not Christians together, it's just sort of a loose relationship. Yeah, they grew up, they're on their own, they're raising themselves, they're going to put stuff in their mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. I've got the wrong verse there. That should be verse 15. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 15. What I'm saying here, brethren and friends, is that it is possible that there could be a true accident. Mike has been out on EMS calls all through his life, and I'm sure he's seen some true accidents here or there. But he's also seen where it was just purely someone being responsible for their ungodly actions. And we have to consider that as well. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. We're not connected with our children growing up. Titus 2, 4 and 5, the young women are to love their husbands, love their children. It is a close relationship. And you talk with them early on, and none of these things affect them later in life. None of them affect them. You're not going in looking for something to mix with Mountain Dew. You're not going out behind somewhere to take some cocaine or heroin. That's just not even appealing to you, because we have been taught early on. Frankly, parents are just too permissive. They're not controlling their child's environment. They're not controlling their friends. They don't know what music they're listening to. They don't care about the movies they're watching. They don't care about the friends that they're hanging out with. And no wonder then someone says, hey, you know, you can mix such and such with such and such. Or I was on the internet and saw where we could mix this with that. And your child just has no guidance there and help. And so Proverbs 1:10, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. But young people aren't even being taught how to say no. The mental courage and the fortitude of how to do that. They're not even given that in a Bible class or in a sermon or at home. And so they're just like soft butter. Okay, just go along. Bad company corrupts good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8 that we're supposed to think on things that are pure and honest and just and honorable. Those are the things that we're to think on. But young people aren't being taught what to think on anymore. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, parents are not teaching their children biblical principles. We're to train up a child in the way that he should go on biblical principles. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, bring up your children Bring up, nurture, bring up your children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are not teaching from a babe these biblical principles, so when they become 16, they have enough good sense that you don't drink fuel or anything else for that matter. They've been taught that their body is valuable. Their mind is made in the image of God. Their body is made in the image of God. And we've got all these biblical principles that we've been talking about tonight. They've been hearing that. And most importantly, Ecclesiastes 12:1, they've been taught to remember their Creator and fear God. And that's what's important. You know, we went through this campaign a few decades ago, and it's great. Tell people, you know, just say no. That's a great campaign. But that alone is not enough. It's not enough. And the DARE programs and the Just Say No's and all of that is not getting it. It's because we're not teaching biblical values that actually will keep us away from those things. You know, I think about Joseph and I think about Daniel. When they said no, what was it about them? It was their youth. It was their youth in a godly family. And it's the biblical principles that will get us along the way. I feel for the parents of these two young people. I really do. But at the same time, let us make sure that we are not ignoring the true problems. I can't speak to this situation recently, and I'm not going to say that in this case the parents were permissive and disconnected. I'm not going to say that. I'm saying that is the case often in many places. And when it is the case, I wish we would squarely address those things rather than talking about other kinds of things. And that's how we can truly help ourselves and help our young people to stay away from these kinds of things that hurt them. And it's not just young people. Middle-aged, older people, a lot of people doing things, putting things in their body that should not be there. And so I hope that this lesson has helped this evening. We wanted others to hear it. I put it on the sign. All you can do is try to advertise. All you can do is try to help. I think a lot of people don't want it. They don't care. But then there'll be city officials and law enforcement officials that'll stand up and say, we've got an epidemic. We've got a drug epidemic. We need help. Well, let's talk about what really is going to help it. We studied in our lesson this morning in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 6. Some people say, preach unto us smooth things. We don't want to hear the right things. We just want to hear the smooth things. And I think it's great that we have all kinds of drug enforcement education. I think that's very important. But we've got to add into that curriculum the biblical principles that are going to get the job done. Sometimes you'll hear about where this drug problem is wanting to be solved, and so they will bring together community leaders. And sometimes ministers are a part of that. And I think that that's good and important if they can get those biblical principles in. I don't know what they talk about all the time at those kinds of things. But community leaders, it's going to have to be those who are leading in the way of God's Word to help. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. We have another opportunity. Our lesson this evening has not been along those lines of obedience to the gospel. But we need to be clear and sober-minded, not only in the matter that we discussed this evening, but also in our relationship with Jesus Christ and if we're saved or not. And we need to be thinking clearly about that. And if we need to make some change in our life with regard to that, and if we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and sing and let your needs be made known.